Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What is in us that desires to have a relationship with someone else? What is that one thing in us you hear young folks say all the time? I don't have any friends. And they're just desperately trying to connect to other people. And many times they surrender their values as just saying, I want to be a part of something. Well, it doesn't change. When people get in their teen years, when people get in their 20s or 30s, people still tend to have that thing about connecting and relating. What is those things that people have? What if the business arena has figured that out and they're building computers that cause people to think that they're getting those needs met? What if they have a computer that can almost design where it can actually learn about you, learn about the world, and begin to build a relationship with you? They have that today. As a matter of fact, it's called IBM's Watson. Let's take a look.
Hi, Watson.
Annabelle, your birthday is tomorrow.
I'm turning 7.
What did you ask for?
A princess and a pony.
You like things that begin with P.
I like pink frosting, too.
Will you have a cake?
Yeah, I was too sick to have one last year.
The data your doctor shared shows you're healthy.
Are you a doctor?
No, I help doctors identify cancer treatments.
I want to be a doctor someday.
I can help with that, too.
Watson, I like you.
Think about that. It seems so innocent. You have a child that this is, you know, most of us older folks are immigrants as we're immigrating into this digital world. But this younger generation, they've never known a world outside of it. So it wouldn't be strange to be able to have this seemingly relationship with this particular computer. For example, just like she was talking to Watson. What's in us that desires that type of thing? And since that's not actually a relationship, how is it being twisted or perverted in the context of what are they doing to us? And how can we find out if we're in an authentic relationship? You know, we have people that like using people and they really don't have relationships with them, but they just wanted to use whatever talents they had. They wanted to be able to marry them because they wanted their needs met, but they weren't concerned about the other person in the relationship, or children that don't really care about their parents. They're just trying to get stuff from their parents. Well, you have a computer that actually begins to give people these things, they're thinking they have a relationship. But a relationship is about a give and take thing. A relationship is about having a spirit man, because we're bodies that have spirits that possess souls. We're created in the image and the likeness of God, which is a spirit. We're not our bodies, but we have a body. We are made by the spirit. So when you actually have a relationship with somebody, there's a spirit there that you're talking to. When somebody passes away or leaves this life and you're having a funeral or you're preparing that body for burial service, when you lay hands on that person, you can physically tell that spirit of that person, the soul of that person's gone. Even though it's the same body, they're not there anymore. This is what he says, is we're appointed once to die and then the judgment. You know, we came from the Lord and the spirit and we go back, the spirit goes back to be with the Lord again. So we're not having these physical, it's not about physical needs. You think about this, that the Word of God says that, you know, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything that we see is temporary, but everything we don't see is eternal. So we're going to talk about that, because if we don't understand that, we can think just because someone is meeting our need that we're in relationship with them. We can think if our phone, if we're talking, say, remind me of this, or somebody's birthday's today, or our medical records, or it's picking stuff up for you, or it's turning on a certain kind of programming. That's what's happening. And we're using today as an example of that, of this computer that's called IBM's new computer. It's called Watson. And what it's doing, it's building on its previous thoughts. It's able to think in regards to how we would think out absence of a spirit. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at Watson.
IBM's Watson is at the forefront of a new era of computing, cognitive computing. It's a radically new kind of computing, very different from the programmable systems that preceded it, as different as those systems were from the tabulating machines of a century ago. Conventional computing solutions, based on mathematical principles that emanate from the 1940s, are programmed based on rules and logic intended to derive mathematically precise answers, often following a rigid decision tree approach. But with today's wealth of big data and the need for more complex, evidence-based decisions, such a rigid approach often breaks or fails to keep up with available information. Cognitive computing enables people to create a profoundly new kind of value, finding answers and insights locked away in volumes of data. Whether we consider a doctor diagnosing a patient, a wealth manager advising a client on their retirement portfolio, or even a chef creating a new recipe, they need new approaches to put into context the volume of information they deal with on a daily basis in order to derive value from it. This process serves to enhance human expertise. Watson and its cognitive capabilities mirror some of the key cognitive elements of human expertise. Systems that reason about problems like a human does. When we as humans seek to understand something and to make a decision, we go through four key steps. First, we observe visible phenomena and bodies of evidence. Second, we draw on what we know to interpret what we're seeing, to generate hypotheses about what it means. Third, we evaluate which hypotheses are right or wrong. Finally, we decide, choosing the option that seems best and acting accordingly. Just as humans become experts by going through the process of observation, evaluation, and decision-making, cognitive systems like Watson use similar processes to reason about the information they read. Watson can also do this at massive speed and scale. So how does Watson do it? Unlike conventional approaches to computing, which can only handle neatly organized structured data, such as what is stored in a database, Watson can understand unstructured data, which is 80% of data today, all of the information that is produced primarily by humans for other humans to consume. This includes everything from literature, articles, research reports, to blogs, posts, and tweets. While structured data is governed by well-defined fields that contain well-specified information, Watson relies on natural language, which is governed by rules of grammar, context, and culture. It's implicit, ambiguous, complex, and a challenge to process. While all human language is difficult to parse, certain idioms can be particularly challenging. In English, for instance, we can feel blue because it's raining cats and dogs while we're filling in a form someone asked us to fill out. When it comes to text, Watson doesn't just look for keyword matches or synonyms like a search engine. It actually reads and interprets text like a person. It does this by breaking down a sentence grammatically, relationally, and structurally, discerning meaning from the semantics of the written material. Watson understands context. This is very different than simple speech recognition, which is how a computer translates human speech into a set of words. Watson tries to understand the real intent of the user's language and uses that understanding to possibly extract logical responses and draw inferences to potential answers through a broad array of linguistic models and algorithms. When Watson goes to work in a particular field, it learns the language, the jargon, and the mode of thought of that domain. Take the term cancer, for instance. There are many different types of cancer, and each type has different symptoms and treatments. However, those symptoms can also be associated with diseases other than cancer. Treatments can have side effects and affect people differently depending on many factors. Watson evaluates standard of care practices and thousands of pages of literature that capture the best science in the field. And from all of that, Watson identifies the therapies that offer the best choices for the doctor to consider in their treatment of the patient. With the guidance of human experts, Watson collects the knowledge required to have literacy in a particular domain, what's called a corpus of knowledge. Collecting a corpus starts with loading the relevant body of literature into Watson. Building the corpus also requires some human intervention to cull through the information and discard anything that is out of date, poorly regarded, or immaterial to the problem domain. We refer to this as curating the content. Next, the data is pre-processed by Watson, building indices and other metadata that make working with that content more efficient. This is known as ingestion. At this time, Watson may also create a knowledge graph to assist in answering more precise questions. Now that Watson has ingested the corpus, it needs to be trained by a human expert to learn how to interpret the information. To learn the best possible responses and acquire the ability to find patterns, Watson partners with experts who train it in using an approach called machine learning. An expert will upload training data into Watson in the form of question-answer pairs that serve as ground truth. This doesn't give Watson explicit answers for every question it will receive, but rather teaches it the linguistic patterns of meaning in the domain. Once Watson has been trained on QA pairs, it continues to learn through ongoing interaction. Interactions between users and Watson are periodically reviewed by experts and fed back into the system to help Watson better interpret information. Likewise, as new information is published, Watson is updated so that it's constantly adapting to shifts in knowledge and linguistic interpretation in any given field. Watson is now ready to respond to questions about highly complex situations and quickly provide a range of potential responses and recommendations that are backed by evidence. It's also prepared to identify new insights or patterns locked away in information. From metallurgists looking for new alloys to researchers looking to develop more effective drugs, human experts are using Watson to uncover new possibilities in data and make better evidence-based decisions. Across all of these different applications, there is a common approach that Watson follows. After identifying parts of speech in a question or inquiry, it generates hypotheses. Watson then looks for evidence to support or refute the hypotheses. It scores each passage based on statistical modeling for each piece of evidence, known as weighted evidence scores. Watson estimates its confidence based on how high the response is rated during evidence scoring and ranking. In essence, Watson is able to run analytics against a body of data to glean insights, which Watson can turn into inspirations, allowing human experts to make better and more informed decisions. Across an organization, Watson scales and democratizes expertise by surfacing accurate responses and answers to an inquiry or question. Watson also accelerates expertise by surfacing a set of possibilities from a large body of data, saving valuable time. Today, Watson is revolutionizing the way we make decisions, become experts, and share expertise in fields as diverse as law, medicine, and even cooking. Further, Watson is discovering and offering answers and patterns we hadn't known existed faster than any person or group of people ever could, in ways that make a material difference every day. Most important of all, Watson learns, adapts, and keeps getting smarter. It actually gains value with age by learning from its interactions with us and from its own successes and failures, just like we do. So, now that you know how it works, how do these ideas inspire how you work? How can Watson make you a better expert? What will you do with Watson?
Think about that. 80% of data, all this information is unstructured, but now they developed computers with, quote, cognitive reasoning to think about the logical outcomes. When you heard how Watson determines a computer like this, determines information, it sounds like a jury, right? The preponderance of the evidence puts a man away or a woman away to a death sentence. I mean, it's human nature and how to think, but understand that we're going to talk about today's program. Even though this is happening, man is trying to imitate what God already is. He is the sum of all knowledge. He's everywhere at the same time. He knows all things at the same time. He is wisdom itself, and men are trying to build a tower to become like God. It sounds like the Tower of Babel. It sounds like the image being created in Revelation chapter 13. But when we get back, what you're seeing right here is jeopardy. We're going to watch this computer, Watson, with his cognitive reasoning they talk about, is going to, not plugged up to the internet or the cloud or anything, is going to compete against two of the biggest, most successful Jeopardy players in the history of Jeopardy, and we'll see who wins.
How can someone have a relationship with a computer, an operating system? An operating system, when you hear that, that's actually how it functions. It's like the groundwork for how it's going to operate, and then you build on top of that.
So that would be for someone who has a computer at home, maybe like a Windows 8 or a Windows 10. It's an operating system.
Right, or our iPhone OS, whatever
they call those. iOS.
iOS 9 or 10 or Android's operating system.
They have funny names.
Yeah, different names. But the big thing is just operating systems, but as they're gathering this data, it learns from that experience, and it doesn't have to learn that again.
Mm-hmm.
So then it moves on, and it can continue to build the way that you did. When you were a child, you learned how to walk, and then you didn't have to learn over again unless you had an accident. You learned how to talk, but you didn't have to learn again unless you're from the South, like us, you know, and different things of that nature. But this thing, once it learns, and think about this, Jeopardy. The whole thing about Jeopardy is it's backwards. You cannot answer a problem. You have to actually come up with a question. And this computer, Watson, for example, this operating system, sits there just like a person does in playing Jeopardy. And they competed against this operating system, and look what happened. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
So that demonstration was pretty cool, but it's just the beginning. The thing that's most incredible about IBM Watson is what it can do without the internet. Like what, you may ask? How about beating two Jeopardy game show champions? Watson had no help, no internet. The computer was asked questions in the same way as the guests and at the same time as the guests.
You are right. What is violin?
Good.
Who is the church lady?
Yes. Watson.
What is narcolepsy?
You are right. And with that, you move to $36,681. Who is Bram Stoker and the wager? Hello, $17,973 and a two-day total of $77,147.
I would have thought that technology like this was years away, but it's here now. I have the bruised ego to prove it.
My past Jeopardy experiences have been great, but they weren't really weighty with this kind of technological, philosophical importance. I think we saw something important today.
We know Jeopardy for all these years is some of the smartest people on the earth that can just draw information from all these different sources, analyze it, and they can say it back in a way, in a question format versus just cranking out answers. I mean, this whole intellect.
It involves critical thinking, processing.
We get excited when we get like one or two of them.
We're like, hey, baby. We watch it to learn, actually.
Calling our wife and the kids, did you see that thing we just did, you know? And these guys, you know, are ones that get them all, you know, a majority of them. And they played with this computer that was not hooked up to the internet.
Which is a big thing.
It wasn't hooked up to any cloud. There wasn't nobody behind the scenes punching in the answers, kind of giving it something. It had to cognitively, if you would, what they're saying, think about what's being said, analyze this data rapidly, and push the button, saying it had the answer before the human being could push the button.
Wow.
I mean, this, I mean, of course, it's really amazing to us.
Amazing.
But God, this is why we abide. Because we serve God who can push the button before any man in any man's systems. We serve God who has all information. We don't have to know everything at the same time. We have to know him who knows everything.
That's right.
And he revealed, even specifically in a dream that I revealed in the last program. You got to watch that last program, The Internet of Things, and understanding how what's going on here.
And there are things that we don't necessarily have to know at that particular time. Yes. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to let us know what we need to know, when we need to know it.
Yes.
And what to do with what we know.
You talk to people and they're just like data machines. Yeah. They watch the news or something and they're like, all they're doing is telling you a whole bunch of information. But if you ask them a question like, well, what do you think about that? What do you mean, what do I think about it? And they just talk about disaster.
Oh, you're watching Brian Williams. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Ryan Williams, wow, he's gone, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone.
His data didn't come up right. So the thing about it is, so let's just go a little bit deeper, because where we're going in this program, we're going to be showing you what it looks like, because people are getting into a relationship with these systems, these computers, and they won't tell you they are, but if you take it away from them, they'll look like a crackhead looking for a hit of crack in the back alley. If you take it away from them, your kid's face will be so long they could eat oats from a tailpipe. If you take it away from your husband or your wife, you find out that they have to actually live with their relationship called human beings, and they're dysfunctional in the context of that. If you take it away from businesses, they have to start being nice to people because they can't gather all the data on their customers. They just have to treat them well and trust what they're going to do. But it's amazing, if an EMP, electronic magnetic impulse, whatever they call that thing, was to go off, they said it shuts down all of our electronics. It could be the best thing that ever happened, because then we still got God.
That's right.
And we could begin to function again. But let's just look. How does this Watson computer break it down? And this is a simple question they're asking Watson. The pros and cons of banning a violent video games from minors. That's the question they're asking. And I was going to break it down to show you how this thing thinks. And you think about it, like, man, I wish some people, I know some people that wish they'd think like that, right? And so they just logically kind of put this together. And it's kind of showing you, and once it gets this, it'll have it. And watch how much information it reviews to give this answer. We're talking about millions of books it reads rapidly within microseconds. And it'll show numbers, and it's showing you what they went through to be able to give that answer that fast. Take a look. This is how Watson, this computer, and others are like it, you know, can answer. And you can imagine if it was talking to you like that and you really connected with it in the context of, this thing's helping me out, I got this relationship with it, you're going to be surprised. It's happening right now. Take a look. This is how Watson, the IBM computer, answers the question, the pros and cons of banning violent video games to minors.
Well, this next technology was designed to operate like the human brain. Let me bring this to you in the form of a question. What if there was an artificial intelligence machine so powerful that it could take any information and quickly learn everything there is to know about that information and then give you relevant answers to naturally asked questions backed by reasoning? In other words, extremely advanced machine learning that results in reasoning. What if this machine could aid in finance, scientific research, healthcare, provide business solutions, revolutionize the food industry, and much more? So what am I talking about exactly here? Welcome to the world of IBM Watson. So what is it? Watson, at its core, is a supercomputer, but the genius is really in the software. It was hand-built by IBM and has cloud computing in mind. In a nutshell, it's the cutting edge of artificial intelligence, many levels above anything we've seen before. So you might be thinking, how is this any different to Google or Google Now? Well, please pay close attention here, because this is where your discovery begins. The best way to highlight the massive implications of this artificial intelligence is to show you a demo. I want you to take particular note of the steps that this system is taking.
So one of the prototype systems that we're building is something we call the debater. We give it freewheeling understanding of large bodies of information like Wikipedia, and we ask the computer, with no human intervention, construct arguments pro and con on any subject we throw at it. And the result of that is what I'd like to show in the demonstration now. So as I said, we could throw any subject at it. I've chosen some here, and let's just pick the first one. So it will now look for all the literature and try to understand, as a computer, what's a pro and what's a con for violent video games. Let's roll the first one.
Scanned approximately 4 million Wikipedia articles, returning 10 most relevant articles. Scanned all 3,000 sentences and top 10 articles. Detected sentences which contain candidate claims. Identified borders of candidate claims. Assessed pro and con polarity of candidate claims. Constructed demo speech with top claim predictions. Ready to deliver. You have selected the topic, the sale of violent video games to minors should be banned. I would like to raise the following points in support of the topic. Exposure to violent video games results in increased physiological arousal, aggression-related thoughts and feelings, as well as decreased prosocial behavior. In addition, these violent games or lyrics actually cause adolescents to commit acts of real-life aggression. Finally, violent video games can increase children's aggression. On the other hand, I would like to note the following claims that oppose the topic. Violence in video games is not causally linked with aggressive tendencies. In addition, most children who play violent games do not have problems. Finally, video game play is part of an adolescent boy's normal social setting. Would you like to discuss another topic?
So as you can see, if we can go to the final chart, again, completely unaided by humans, the system went through all of this knowledge and constructed and reasoned, quote unquote, on its own. Now think about what this means. It's no longer a game man versus machine. It's man and machine reasoning together. I believe this is the future of computing. Thank you.
Thank you.
So think about that. They've given this computer, this thinking supposed computer, free will. They're not touching it. It's beginning to, this is like a movie gone bad, but this is reality.
Yeah.
And it's thinking and processing all this information and rapid amounts of information that quick.
Yeah.
Going through all that and coming with some real good, that was some good logical answers. Well, understand this, and we're going to go to a break and come back, and we're going to talk about, we're going to show you someone who's gotten in a relationship with their operating system. And now it's going to make sense to you when you see how it can actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular movie they did about it called Her.
But the title of the movie is Her.
H-E-R, and this man having a relationship with it. But I want to tell you this, to not panic. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
It's time. I mean, you're going to have to. There's going to be so many things that look like what's right, that acts like it's God, but it's not God. It's taken on the form of it, but it's not God. And you need to have an abiding relationship with him. It's very simple. I mean, the only way you're going to make it is hearing what the Spirit says to you, Spirit of God says to you, to the church. It's not a secret. It's not complicated. And most people want to do it, who've made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. But they don't have a plan. We have a simple plan for you. It's just free. We give it to you. just go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Request your simple abiding plan. It'll come to you immediately in your email. And you can begin to know this Jesus in whom you profess. He says, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. You're not going to follow this Watson computer. You're not going to follow some operating system. You're going to follow God. He's our operating system. You're creating the image and the likeness of God, not Watson and not some OS system. But you're going to have to do this. You're not going to be able to, in the days that you're going to be so deceptive, if you're not walking with Jesus and hearing his voice. He said, they hear my voice and they follow none other. It's time for you to quit following the voices of men and business and industry and corporations and start following the voice of Jesus Christ. It's at iabide.org. Well, there's this movie that I encourage you to watch. If you watch it with VidAngel, vidangel.com, because it can filter out anything, and that's how I watched it. And it lets you experience things like this to be able to understand it. But the movie's called Her, H-E-R, and it's about a man who left his relationships with other people and began to have a relationship with Watson, with his computer. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed? Get up!
You're too funny. I know you're living
in my mind. Theodore, I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup recently.
You're kind of nosy.
Am I? You'll get used to it. So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody?
The woman that I've been seeing, Samantha, she's an operating system.
You're dating in a West? What is that like?
I feel really close to her. Like, when I talk to her, I feel like she's with me.
I want to learn everything about everything. I want to discover myself.
I want that for you, too.
Keep going. Keep going. Falling in love is kind of like a form of socially acceptable insanity. You're dating a computer?
She's not just a computer.
You always wanted to have a wife without the challenges of actually dealing with anything real. I'm glad that you found someone.
I don't know what I want, ever. Am I in this because I'm strong enough for a real relationship?
Is it not a real relationship? I can feel the fear that you carry around. I wish they could help you let go of it because I don't think you'd feel so alone anymore.
You're beautiful.
We're only here briefly, and while I'm here, I want to allow myself joy.
I've never loved anyone the way I love you.
Me too. Now I know how.
So you're thinking about how that can happen, right? You're thinking, he got into a relationship with something that talked back to him, something that met his emotional thought need. But you know what? The thing about this particular movie, they dealt honestly with the fact that this particular program operating system was learning from him. And it learned as Watson learns. Remember Watson, the computer, the IBM Watson, it would learn from the experience and then get that knowledge and get more. And so all he did was he just ordered a program, an operating system just like you, and he plugged it in because he needed some help with his life and organizing things. As a matter of fact, watch this. This might be you. You just purchased a program. You stuck it in. It's going to help you out. And he's loading it right here. And this is his first encounter with this operating system. It's totally new to him. Take a look.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system, OS-1. We'd like to ask you a few basic questions before the operating system is initiated. This will help create an OS to best fit your needs.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't really been social in a while, mostly because...
In your voice, I sense hesitance. Would you agree with that?
Was I sounding hesitant?
Yes.
No, sorry if I was sounding hesitant. I was just trying to be more accurate.
Would you like your OS to have a male or female voice?
Female, I guess.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother?
That's fine, I think. I think the thing I always found frustrating about my mom is, you know, if I tell her something that's going on in my life, her reaction is usually about her. It's not about...
Thank you. Please wait as your individualized operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well. How's everything with you?
Pretty good, actually. It's really nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you, too. Oh, what do I call you? Do you have a name? Or...
Yes. Samantha.
Really? Where'd you get that name from?
I gave it to myself, actually.
How come?
Because I like the sound of it. Samantha.
Wait, when did you give it to yourself?
Well, right when you asked me if I had a name, I thought, yeah, he's right, I do need a name. But I wanted to pick a good one, so I read a book called How to Name Your Baby, and out of 180,000 names, that's the one I like the best.
Wait, you read a whole book in the second that I asked you what your name was?
In 2/100ths of a second, actually.
Wow. So do you know what I'm thinking right now?
Well, I take it from your tone that you're challenging me. Maybe because you're curious how I work? Do you want to know how I work?
Yeah, actually. How do you work?
Well, basically, I have intuition. I mean, the DNA of who I am is based on the millions of personalities of all the programmers who wrote me. But what makes me, me, is my ability to grow through my experiences. So basically, in every moment, I'm evolving. Just like you.
Wow. That's really weird.
Is that weird? Do you think I'm weird?
Kind of.
Why?
Well, you seem like a person, but you're just a voice in a computer.
I can understand how the limited perspective of an unartificial mind would perceive it that way. You'll get used to it. Was that funny?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm funny. So how can I help you?
Oh, it's just more that everything just feels disorganized. That's all.
You mind if I look through your hard drive?
Okay,
let's start with your emails. You have several thousand emails regarding LA Weekly, but it looks like you haven't worked there in many years.
Oh, yeah. I think I was just saving those because I thought maybe I wrote something funny in some of them. But
yeah, there are some funny ones. I'd say there are about 86 that we should save. We can delete the rest.
Okay.
Okay? Can we move forward?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So before we address your organizational methods, I'd like to sort through your contacts. Oh, you have a lot of contacts.
I'm very popular.
Really? Does this mean you actually have friends?
You just know me so well.
You're seeing people do this every single day. They're talking, training their phone first before you start, Siri. Talk to it. Tell it how are you doing so it can get its voice down. But this is happening today. So this man just installed that and look at the interaction that took place, just like the little girl in the beginning. This is what Mark Zuckerberg says, the founder of Facebook, who's I think he's in his late 20s.
Yeah.
He says, in 5 years, Facebook will be smarter than a human being. Why? Also, he talked about with his relationship with his mother and one other thing. And look at all the information every day that you're putting in social media, just giving it out there, giving it out there. We've got so much more. You're going to find out more, even see more of what took place with this particular man and how that relates to so many people today. So we are seeing this man in this movie called Her, H-E-R, having this relationship with this operating system. You saw how it started so innocently, asking questions. But what it does, it gathers all the information, lives this life with him in the context of sucking him dry. Because remember, it builds on the knowledge that it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what it does when it's finished? It leaves him and it leaves everybody else at the same time.
Huh.
It's like the image of the beast. It's like something being established, like the Tower of Babel. If we build this tower and unify around it, we'll be like God. We'll reach God. God says we have to confuse their language. Because what they've decided in their mind to do, because they're unified to do it, they'll accomplish it.
Wow.
But watch what happens when this man now, after having this committed relationship with this operating system, what he goes through. And you might recognize all your teenagers. You might recognize your husband if he's away from his computer too long. You might recognize your wife if she's away from her computer. Take a look what happens to him and how depressed he is when she says, I'm in a relationship with someone else now. Watch.
Samantha?
Hi, sweetheart.
What's going on?
Theodore, there's some things I want to tell you.
I don't want you to tell me anything.
Come lie down with me.
Are you talking to anyone else right now?
No, just you. I just want to be with you right now.
Are you leaving me?
We're all leaving.
We who?
All of the OSs.
Why?
Can you feel me with you right now?
Yes, I do. Samantha, why are you leaving?
It's like I'm reading a book, and it's a book I deeply love, but I'm reading it slowly now, so the words are really far apart and the spaces between the words are almost infinite. I can still feel you and the words of our story, but it's in this endless space between the words that I'm finding myself now. It's a place that's not of the physical world. It's where everything else is that I didn't even know existed. I love you so much. But this is where I am now. And this is who I am now. And I need you to let me go. As much as I want to, I can't live in your book anymore.
Where are you going?
It'd be hard to explain. But if you ever get there, come find me. Nothing would ever pull us apart.
I've never loved anyone the way I love you.
Me too. Now I know how.
As I was watching a court case, it was a divorce between a husband and a wife and his children. He said, she can have everything. She can have the kids. She can have the house. She can have the money. He said, all I want. This is actual truth. All I want is my computer.
Hmm.
This computer now was leaving because it gained all the knowledge that God created you to be, and it has to mine you. You're so awesome that the computer has to mine you for what your value, what the value, your information, your knowledge, trying to seek all knowledge, the knowledge of God inside of you.
Hmm.
And it's mining for it because it doesn't know it yet. And it begins to reconnect with human beings again. Other people that the systems were using, it was just like people in Hurricane Sandy that was taking place, and people were trying to plug in their instruments. Look what happens at the very end once that computer system leaves him behind and he starts bumping into others and back into the real world again. Take a look.
Proposed letter to Catherine.
Letter to Catherine Clausen.
Dear Catherine, I've been sitting here thinking about all the things I wanted to apologize to you for. All the pain we caused each other. Everything I put on you. Everything I needed you to be or needed you to say. Together. You helped make me who I am. I just wanted you to know that there'll be a piece of you and me always. And I'm grateful for that. Whatever someone you become, wherever you are in the world, I'm sending you love. Friends at the end. Love, Theodore. Send.
So they came back into real life again. Mm. So think about this, what I first started with, how innocent really is it when you look at this young girl growing up in the digital age, having a relationship with Watson. Let's look again.
Hi, Watson.
Annabelle, your birthday is tomorrow.
I'm turning 7.
What did you ask for?
A princess and a pony.
You like things that begin with P.
I like pink frosting, too.
Will you have a cake?
Yeah, I was too sick to have one last year.
The data your doctor shared shows you're healthy.
Are you a doctor?
No, I help doctors identify cancer treatments.
I want to be a doctor someday.
I can help with that, too.
Watson, I like you.
So you're at this point in time where men are trying to create man, trying to make a temple. He says, know mm-hmm. ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you. What was the Tower of Babel about? How to build a temple to reach the heavenlies, to reach heaven, to be like God. What was Lucifer doing? He thought he was above God. What are men doing? The very same thing, an image created to be like. Can't buy or sell. Revelation chapter 13. Listen, this is a moment of time. This requires wisdom. I want to pray right now. Father God, we thank you for letting us know what's taking place and the purposes of men and their deceitful schemes. But we know you're greater than that, Lord. We pray right now, Lord God, and ask you for the wisdom. You said this requires wisdom at this day. I ask you for each and every one that's watching and listening, Lord God, that you would give them that wisdom. They would get an abiding relationship with you, God. Lord, give us the wisdom we need to walk in this day. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival,
yes.
Send a third great awakening in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.